Beloved ones, I greet you in joy. Does it not feel great to be uplifted, to know that you are not encased in the heaviness of the world? The world, as you have seen, we can leave it outside somewhere, outside the door, and when you walk in here, you can be all that you can be, and more. I think you have that as an advertisement. All this, and more. Exactly. It is my great joy to be with you in this way. Always, beloved ones, I talk with you. Sometimes you hear me. Sometimes you hear me. Sometimes you claim that it is the truth of your being. And it is. Sometimes you say, well, it cannot be one Yeshua because he died. Years and years and years ago, a long time. But I have that secret to share with you, which you know already. I am not dead. I am not in the tomb. I am alive. But we will get to that. This evening, we were going to speak of the continuation of the Easter story. Yesterday, we spoke of the Last Supper, and we visited that place within. Then after that I had celebrated with my friends, comrades, and we shared how the love that you know with your friends is the love of the Father, Mother, God, all that is. And you share this as you open your heart to them, which is what we did at the Last Supper. After that time, I went to the garden to pray, and some of my disciples' friends came with me. And it was a time of searching within, a time of, for me, asking myself, can I give myself over to what seems to be coming? Because it was not written in stone that this had to proceed in a certain way. As is your life, every moment you are writing it anew. I have shared with you in the past that nothing in your life is written in stone until you write it. Nothing is written that it has to be a certain way. And you are the maker of your reality. You are the maker as you go forth and you make decisions. So my time in the garden was a time of searching, searching within, asking for permission of the reality, lowercase r, of my body. Because I knew that if I gave permission, there was a certain avenue that most probably I would be walking down. And there was a good part of me, human, that said, do I really want to walk down this avenue? Or can we put it off for a while? I've only had 3 years of sharing with the disciples and walking with them. I've enjoyed those 3 years. It's been great to have the multitudes come and want to hear what I had to share with them. Maybe we could do another year. Have you ever talked with your inner self and said, you know, hey, we don't really have to follow this path. It's not written in stone. And in truth, it is not. Your reality is not written until you give permission and say, yes, I will take that first step forward into a new avenue. And so I talked with my Father, Mother, God, all that is. I went within and I asked myself, do I have the strength to make that decision? Now, I had studied with the masters in the Far East, and I knew how to allow the body to do its thing, keep breathing, let the heart keep beating, and to absent myself from it to experience other experiences worldly and otherwise. So I knew that I could do that and allow the body to keep on doing its thing, breathing rhythmically, allowing the blood to flow, so that when I wanted to come back in consciousness, it would be there for me. But I knew that was not going to be enough for the ones who wanted to silence me, ones who had already been down the road, but thought that there might be a better road. In other words, they had allowed the body to do its thing, and then they had made choices to leave it and to experience the allness, called when you walk through that doorway of death, to have another experience. Well, they didn't want to do that. They thought that this right here was all there was. And so they would do anything and everything to keep the focus upon the world. Well, you can imagine the conversation that I had with myself, because I had been enjoying the comradeship of the disciples and the multitudes. The multitudes had much to share with me. It was not just all my speaking to them. There was a give and take, and the times that we spent upon the mountainside where they would go into the pockets, which are not here, and share of their food with other ones and be able to spend more time, more days with the friends, those times were precious. They were infinitely joyous times. And I enjoyed them. And I thought, you know, it'd be fun to just keep on what we've been doing, maybe another month, maybe another year. Because I'm still young, you know, I'm still healthy. And I enjoy walking, and I enjoy the discourse with the friends. Maybe next year. We can do this next year. Same time, we can do it next year. But that didn't feel right. There was not the yes, the affirmative. And I kept waiting and thinking, well, maybe if I take two or three more breaths, then I'll get a yes answer. Have you ever played that game with yourself? Yes. Maybe if I just pray about it, maybe it'll make it okay. So I prayed some more. But I didn't get the yes. So finally, I took the deep breath, which you have done when you had to make what seemed to be a difficult decision, a challenging one anyway. And I took that deep breath and I said, Father, source of all, I know that I will not be leaving you because it is not possible. You are always within me and with me. So I know that all will be as it is designed to be. Okay, we will go forward. So, with that decision, I saw that at the edge of the wooded area, there was a commotion going on. And some of the disciples were there, and they were talking with ones who seemed to be in authority. So I walked towards the grouping, and I said, are you looking for me? And they said, yes. Are you one Yeshua ben Joseph? And I said, yes. And they said, come with us. So I knew the decision had been made, the die had been cast, and I would go forward. So I did, because I knew this was what the Father, the higher part of me, had decided. So, as you have heard the story, it was not exactly a pleasant time. There was much that they wanted to have me show to my disciples, that I was not the very God itself walking this plane, that I was truly a man who could suffer the slings and arrows and the beatings with the would you call it something of nine tails? Yes, the cat of nine tails, yes. The body was not too happy with my decision, and there was much of the revelry as they called out to me, "Oh, great one, save yourself." They did not know I had already been saved by the decision that yes, excuse me, that I would go forward with the decision. So, it was decided by them that I should be put out of my misery if I was suffering from the cat of nine tails. Is that the name of it? Okay. So you have the story of the walk with a whip that supposedly made you go faster, but it didn't. And once when they would see me stumble, because by this time I had had the most wondrous meal with my disciples, but the sustenance was wearing off, and the body, from the whippings and beatings, was not feeling as strong as it had earlier on. And there were times when they would use the cat of nine tails, gosh almighty, what a name, to make me walk faster. But the body would not respond, and it would not walk faster. So there were times when I stumbled, and ones would come and help me back up. This was to show from the ones who were along the roadside the love of their heart to come and help another brother, to allow them opportunity to serve me as I had served them. So we reached the hillside, and as you know the story, there were two others to be crucified on that day as well. And we went through the, you can imagine how it would feel to have the spikes, I will call them that, into the hands. That was bad enough on the cross, because yet there was sensation in the body. So did I feel it? Yes, I felt it. Did I stay in that place of feeling it? No, because I knew how to absent myself from the sensation, which I did quite a bit. But the hardest part, for those of you who have been crucified, and I will share with you, everyone so assembled in this day and time, listening to this story, you have known that experience. Your feet right now can feel how it feels to have the great spikes through the feet, through the hands. And there are ones of you who have even now from time to time shown the signs on the palms of the hands. It has happened to you. But where are you now? You are alive, alert, awake, happy, and joyous. Well, it is a choice, but hopefully joyous. So, when I was on the cross, as I have said, I knew because I had studied with masters of the Far East, as you call it now, how to absent the consciousness from the body. You can do it. It takes some practice, but you can do it, where you see yourself looking at the body, but you are not within the body. There is much that can be experienced, practiced, and known with the feedback that comes from the body. My beloved friend and teacher, the one you know as Judas, did what is called the biofeedback training and helped others to come through the biofeedback training to a place of peace. Little did she know this was calling upon previous experience. But I digress, which is my nature, to digress. Yes. In the fullness of time, it was decided that the body had expired, the breathing had stopped, and they took the body down from the cross. And I accompanied the body because it had served me well to a most wondrous place known as a cave. It was a quiet cave. It was quiet. It was a place of rest. It had been used before for ones who had been crucified, and after they had made arrangements for perhaps removal, it was emptied out. And so therefore, I was the next, at least my body, occupant of the tomb. And I was placed there and attended by the women who loved me and who could not believe that this one who had spoken so in life that the body would be lifeless. The body, yes, was lifeless, but I was with the body. And I came and I watched the women tend to the body with the herbs and spices, the perfumes, anointing the body, thanking me and the body for the teaching and the healing, for there were many. I had healed, at least I had given them the understanding that they could heal themselves. They thought that I did it. And in a way, I did, but they did, the healing. Because there was a certain vibrancy in my teaching that was contagious on purpose, so that ones would catch that spirit of life and they could do the healing of the body, whatever part that seemed to be needing a bit of the jump start, as you call it, a bit of the life. And so there were the healings that are written about, and they were true, that happened. The ones who thought they could not see, and it was a truth of their being in that moment that they could not see. But in the next moment, there was a belief, as you have heard in the music, that I will change how I look at things, quite literally, and I can see again. There was an energy that ones could grasp. And within that energy, they could become whole, healing again. You have been with ones who have known how to do the healing. You have been with ones who, with certain practice, could enliven the body. This that was done in my presence was a quickening of what can be done. As your medical people now tell you, it may be several weeks, it may be several months, but yes, there have been healings that have happened, miracle healings, and yes, it is quite possible. And if you take this certain substance known as the medicine, and if you believe that it's going to heal you, it will happen. And you have questioned, is it really this pill that I take that is healing me? Or is it something else? And as you have meditated, as you have thought, as you have asked to know the truth of your being, you have realized, I am my own healer. I am alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic about life. And as ones get into that space of believing, knowing that they are life itself, the body has to respond. And the one who has reached what you call the 100 years or more becomes young again, if they so choose. Sometimes they say, oh, that can't be. I had an uncle once who lived to be 99, and he thought he was going to make 100, but, you know, the body thought otherwise and whatever. The decision is yours. You are in charge of the body. And as you will change your thinking and be happy about life, hey, I need to go square dancing or whatever, because I have energy. I am the energy. And when you say those two words, I am, be cognizant of what you put after that, because that is your verification of what you believe to be true. I am young. I am happy. Use that one instead of, oh, I am so weighted down. I've got so much to do. Well, whatever you say, it will be unto you as you say. So, first thing in the morning, I am alive. Yeah, I am. Alert? Yeah. Happy. And enthusiastic. Now, know you the meaning, the root meaning of enthusiastic?
Entheos,
in God. It is the God of me that is waking up to this body and wants to be all that I can be. How did you feel recently in the last few half hour, hour, with the upbeat of the music? Yes, you felt enthusiastic. You felt enlivened. You felt like you could be all that you could be. And the body responded. The heart was beating a bit faster. The pulse was a bit more strong. You were feeling like, wow, this feels really good. I feel young again, you know. I'm really into that beat. I like that beat. Oh, I like that. And in that moment, if you were to see the term aura of the body, the energy of the body, the aura that you keep right rather close to the body, expanded. It was alive, alert, joyous, and enthusiastic right out there, feeling like, I am part of this music. Wow, you know, I thought I was tired when I arrived here. I thought, you know, I'm going to sit in the pew. I'm going to sit there and I'll listen to the music and that'll be really nice and I'll talk to a few people. And after all, wow, hey, you know, the body feels like it really wants to move. Aha. This is why you see with certain music in certain gatherings, people cannot sit. The body has to move, and it is up and moving. And some of your most enlivening church groups, the music speaks louder to the person within than the words of the clergy. It's that music. You know this. You've seen it. You've felt it. And this afternoon, you felt it as well. That which I speak to you, I will tell you a secret. That which I speak to you is where you have already been, and I am just bringing it into words, into perhaps concepts that you have already felt and known. In truth, I have been your teacher, bringing forth that which you already know. And we celebrate it as life itself. You are life, and you live it moment by moment, and you meet someone, and the eyes come alive, and the smile on the face grows. And you reach out, if you are allowed to, if you allow yourself, and you hug yourself. Because you never meet a stranger. You always meet yourself. Although they may be dressed a bit differently, they may have the hair that is a different color, even the shoe size may be different, but it is yourself that you'll meet. So that is why you love to reach out and hug yourself. It is a most wondrous practice. And the more you practice, the better it feels. Yes, and that is what comes forth. The very deep laughter that says, I am free. I am happy. I am holy. Coming from that place of W-H-O-L-E, holy. Yes, I am whole. I am all that God intended me to be. So you live and you move and you have your being in the holiness of you. Happy and joyous. When I was in the process of being nailed to the cross, many of you have wondered, how would that feel? Many of you have... The act of crucifixion is a most torturous way to give the invitation to the body to decease. And bodies are not happy to be punctured. Bodies are not happy to have the slice across the throat either with a very sharp sword. There are all kinds of ways to give the invitation to the body to stop. However, there are ways at what you call the time of deceasement that can be quite gentle, quite last breath. Take that last breath and then ascend. I recommend that way. However, there is also the consciousness training that you can do that says, I am not the body. The body is at my control, that which I give it direction to do. I am in charge of it. And this is what happened on another day later in the Holy Weekend, where I gave the direction to the body, all right, let's resurrect this beautiful body. Let's heal it. But I digress. We will come to that on another day. You are the maker of the body. You are the consciousness that brings together the body, even a yawn. Look at the miracle of a yawn, that the body knows what to do. When you were first born, a small little infant will come and does not have to be taught to yawn. Relax, completely relax, and then we'll yawn. Because it feels good to take in the breath. The body truthfully knows how to be a body. But oftentimes, as you have experienced, you put the pressures onto the body and you say, well, we have to be somewhere at a certain time. I have to hurry up. And you put a certain tension upon the body that does not like it, but it responds to you. To let you know that, yes, you think you are in charge. Allow yourself the deep breath. Take a deep breath right now. Ah, your body thanks you. There's been a change in energy level. There has been a feeling of wholeness, a feeling of holiness, allowing the light that you are to infuse the body. Allow yourself in the day's work to stop. Literally stop where you are and breathe. I know that this day and time, there is much that your employer expects you to do, your teachers expect you to do, your colleagues expect you to do, and that you expect the body to do. Remember to breathe. Remember to be all that you can be. Take the deep breath again, right now. Take the deep breath. Know the holiness of the deep breath. You see what happens? Even the eyes soften and get easier. Allow yourself to know, I am whole. I am love. I am all. And celebrate yourself. This truly is your holy weekend. This is your weekend to celebrate the holiness of you. For indeed, coming up to this weekend, you have been very much responding to the world, to what needed seemingly to be, where you had to be at certain time. It is no wonder that sometimes the body will give you a message that it is tired, that it has something that's not perhaps working just perfectly. Allow yourself to breathe into it. Allow yourself, any time that you feel the constriction, to breathe deeply, wholly, wholly, and holy. Take that holy breath. It is good medicine. You have ones of your friends who are a bit constricted, feeling that they have to live up to something, that the body has to serve them in a certain way. Speak unto them that they are the deep breath. That is all that is asked of them from the very moment that they take incarnation to the very last moment when they expire. Allow the body to be all that it is, the deep breath. Know that truly you are the holiness of the body, and it is outpicturing for you that which you believe about the body. So as you are in joy, as you are moving around and feeling really energized with the body, it responds. It says, oh, she is happy. Oh, he is sad. He is worried. She thinks she has to keep up with certain demands of time. She knows that she is the play one, the playful one, just breathing, just knowing that she is enough. She is the beautiful one, enjoying life. Then the body responds. Whatever you are thinking about it, it is going to show you what you are thinking about it. And if you have a certain constriction in the body, it is crying out for you to pay attention and give to it that which it is asking for. Relaxation, the flow of the body, the flow of the blood in the body that nourishes and heals. The body knows how to heal, for the body is whole. Allow yourself to feel the holiness of the body. I felt this on the cross. I knew that, yes, there could be pain attendant to the certain circumstances, but I didn't need to know that after the first moment, and I took the consciousness above and watched. Now, from the very first moment in this lifetime and many other lifetimes prior, you have felt that you have had to direct the body. But from the very first moment, the body has said to you, I will breathe. I will scream. I will ask for more breath, please. And you respond by yes, giving it more breath. The body knows how to be whole, W-H-O-L-E, and at the same time, holy, H-O-L-Y. Relax. Rest. That is why oftentimes I would take myself apart from the, as you call it, the maddening crowd, and speak with my Father who abides in heaven. Now, where is heaven? Heaven is not a place far distant, not a geographical place. Heaven is, you've heard this, within. Heaven is within that deep breath. Sometimes it takes several deep breaths to reach the place where the mind gives up for a moment or so and says, okay, I am not in control. Mind can be a very harsh taskmaster. Allow the mind to sit on a shelf and just breathe. Then, if you get an idea to do something, you will be energized. So, when the body had expired to the place where the soldiers thought that it was finished, they allowed the cross to come down. They allowed the nails to be taken out of the hands and feet, and they wiped them off and saved them for the next crucifixion. I gave to the ones who were doing their job my thanks for doing what was truly not a labor of love. It was a labor that they did because if they did not do it, they would be the one up on the cross. Therefore, that was motivation that they responded to. But it was not a job that they enjoyed doing. At first, they liked the feeling of power. After that, they did not like having to inflict the great agonizing pain. And they felt the pain themselves, sometimes in the hands and feet even, which was not too pleasant, but they chose to feel that pain rather than have it be inflicted upon themselves, as you have done when you have done a job that you didn't enjoy doing, but the boss said that you had to do it, and it had to be done by 5 o'clock this afternoon, or whatever time. And so you responded as best you could. After a while, the body said, hey, we need time off. We need a vacation. Aren't you due for a week, perhaps, or some days off? And if you were not due for it, you would manufacture something in the body that would say to you, you'd better stay home in bed and rest for a while. You are very clever. The body is very clever in getting its message across to you. However, the body is not in control of you. This was something that I experienced with the masters in the Far East. When I was a small one, and if I would trip on a stone or whatever, perhaps turn the ankle over, it was like, oh, this hurts. Or if I would fall on the stones and scrape up the knees a bit, it was like, oh, no, this hurts. Yes, the body is telling you, non-verbally, don't do this again. And then the next time you are running and you trip over a stone and you scrape up the knees, you learn very quickly that, hey, maybe I shouldn't run so fast, I should watch where I am going. Have the older ones said to you, watch where you're going? Oh, yes, many times. This is true of the bodily, taking care of the body, but it's also true of the mental. Watch where you are going. Watch what your language will tell you. There are some times you say, oh, I am so tired, my head hurts. And the head says, oh, I'm supposed to have a heart. Okay. And in the beginning, it says, how do we do this? And then you try various things, and oh, yes, the head does hurt. Okay. Try saying to the head, you are at peace. There are ones who know the magic of changing the thinking to the place where it is knowing health, holiness, W-H-O-L. Allow yourself to be joyful, happy, moving in time to the music, allowing the body to be happy, to flow. When you do that, the body thanks you. It says, yes, it feels good to be moving, to be easy. And there is the joy that bubbles up inside. Holiness, not of the mind, but of the body. Yes. Live long and prosper in the body, knowing the health, the wholeness of the body. So this is what the body, my body, had a chance to do in the tomb. Being in the tomb was actually good medicine. It seemed that the body was extinguished, but the body responds to spirit. Remember that. If you remember nothing else from the words of this day, remember that the body responds to spirit. Breathe, spirit. Know holiness. Be happy. Holiness allows you, it suggests to you, that you know everything's okay. Why not be happy? And the simplest among you are happy. They may not have the mansions. In fact, it's better that they do not. They may not have all of the adventures of the boardroom and all of the various prospects and ideas that come up. But they know how to allow the body to be happy, to go forward in wholeness, W-H-O-L-E-ness, and in holiness. I think you have some music that is set to something about being holy. I know that you do. And all of music is of wholeness, in truth. It is one of the very first things that you learn in all of the different ages, down through what you call the ages. You had the music, you had the drum beat, you had the feeling of the flow of the blood through the body, nourishing the body. Even the ones who you would call most primitive knew the holiness and healing of the body. And even now, when ones want to know healing, one of the best ways to do it is to put on the music with a certain beat to it and to be in sync with the music. Forgetting all the cares and worries, allow the mind to be emptied out and move with the music. This is something you knew as the very primitive one. You knew how to be the music, and you were happy. And the more you moved in tune to the, in time to the music, the happier you were. Then the most wondrous invention of the mind came in and said, oh, we're in charge. We will think. until the point where you got a headache. Ever been there? Of course you have. And then you have said, I will breathe. I will relax. I think I need a nap. Naps are very healing. Unless you wake up and think, okay, where was I? What was I worried about? Okay. Allow yourself the deep laughter. It is healing. So as I have shared with you, in the garden, I thought deeply. Am I finished? Is my work finished? And I realized I came to make it reality in my knowing that my work is my joy. My work, it is your joy, to allow yourself to be all that you are, all that you can be, to be the joy of living, to smile, to reach out and hug, to give to other ones the gift of your acknowledgement of how wondrous they are. It is most wondrous that they look at you and they love you, and you think, oh, but I haven't combed my hair this morning. How can you love this? Yes. And ones will come up and they will say, it's not your hair. It is you, the being of you, the personality of you, the wholeness of you. It is the way you reach out and take me within your arms and hug me and smile at me. That is the joy of being. So, beloved ones, thank you for journeying with me through the garden of Gethsemane, through the garden of giving permission to go forward at what I thought might be an earlier time than it needed to be, but acknowledging that everything always, remember this, everything always works in divine timing. Everything works in the wholeness of time. When you recognize the holiness of the wholeness you are, everything falls into place. Even a crucifixion. Well, doesn't that feel good? Yes. Go now in peace. Go now in joy. Go now recognizing the holiness of the love which you are. Give to ones the hug. If you are solitary and viewing this from a distance, reach out with the mirror and hug self, for you are the Holy One. So be it.